From the American Express Travel Survey and Forecast, a late bulletin, quote, during the summer vacation season at the halfway mark, most resort areas are reporting business better than expected. Signals suggest that August will be a good vacation month. August prices will remain about the same, but changes, if any, will turn moderately downward. Bargain-hunting tourists are demanding lower rates, special services, and pre-war gratuities. Those seeking the lower price accommodation should have reservations. Living 1949, itself taking no vacation, today wistfully holds up its mirror to reflect America getting away from it all. In a drama document devoted to those much-awaited, much-planned-for
2 weeks with pay.
Your narrator, Peter Roberts.
Greetings, America, and blessings on the female or man vacationing on the European or American plan. Here is a domestic snapshot and sound of this past week. No answer. Nobody home. No clang of milk bottles on the back porch. No thud of newspapers on the front. The gas is turned off, the refrigerator defrosted. Call again a week, 2 weeks from now. But right now, America is on vacation. Let us pause then, you and I, on the lonely threshold of the errant housewife and her equally absent spouse, and muse upon the motives which have sent them fleeing hearth and home.
With the coming of the summer solstice, nature takes on a fullness of life in all the realms of her animated being.
With these words 59 years ago, a Dr. H.S. Drayton began his little volume entitled Vacation Time. The opening paragraph continues.
It cannot be wondered at that the heart of man feels an irrepressible desire for out-of-door life at this season, and that he would throw aside the bonds that have repressed the play of his faculties during the months of dreariness and cold, and give the physical in him free rein. We think that society is rising to a better appreciation of the spirit of summer.
Society may have been rising to a better appreciation of summer, but there were those among Dr. Drayton's readers who rose to his words in a somewhat different spirit.
I tell you it's nonsense, Charles, but vicious, dangerous nonsense.
Oh, but Father, after all, Dr. Drayton is not only our family physician, but he's your friend.
Have you read his book?
Yes, Father.
Have you ever given a thought to what some of the things Drayton has written could mean to the people who work in our factories? The idea that a working man needs a vacation, socialistic nonsense.
But if a working man can afford
it, He can't afford it, Charles, and we know that. But if this idea spreads, the working man will be demanding vacations and with pay. And you ask why I get excited when I see dastardly things like this brewing. How can I join my own vacation?
Gone is that old gentleman and the world he represented. A world in which vacations for all were as undreamed of as suntan lotion and French bathing suits. For half a century later, in 1940, the United States Department of Commerce reported
25% of all workers are eligible for a 2 weeks vacation with pay.
This year of 1949, the figure reads
85% of all union workers have vacation clauses in their contracts. And 97% of all workers are eligible for a 2 weeks vacation with pay.
Yes, the early years of the 20th century marked the passing of vacations from the millionaires to the masses. To put it another way, a half century ago, in 1900,
less than half a million Americans took any extended time off.
Whereas, my friends and fellow holiday seekers, when this summer of 1949 has become history,
90 million Americans will have spent an average of $12 a day on their vacation.
24 million cars will have carried the bulk of the great migration on trips averaging 1,500 miles. In addition to the hotels and campsites in state and national parks, these motorists will find more than 5,000 new motor courts this year, mostly in the south and west of the Mississippi. National motor court figure, close to 30,000.
By the time Labor Day rolls around, 90 million Americans will have hit the vacation trail, savoring of the grab-bag magnificence of America. According to present estimates of the U.S. Department of the Interior, these touring, vacationing Americans will spend $12 billion on travel, hotels, food, and holiday purchases.
Another $280 million will be spent in Canada, and many millions in Mexico.
Yes, and a half million will cross to Europe by boat and plane, commemorating their visits with some $800 million. Virtually a Marshall Plan in miniature. We can readily see, reviewing the Cole statistics, that behind the phrase 2 weeks with pay, now so nearly universal, has lain a minor social revolution. And like all revolutions, its course has been marked by incident, anecdote, excursions, and alarums. Let us have a reminiscent look, first setting our scene by listening again to the late Dr. Drayton as he described the status of vacations 1890.
Some people are so happily situated that they can sandwich their work with frequent seasons of leisure. But they are in a very small minority. The great majority must grind day after day, month after month, without even a fortnight's respite from toil.
And as they stuck to their grind day after day, the great majority could only read of the doings of the small minority as they swanked at Newport, as they took the waters at Saratoga and White Sulphur Springs, as they ate and gambled at Long Branch and sailed at Bar Harbor. In the newspapers, they could read of the doings of the Nobs and the Swells, the Nobs being the massive old families, the Astors, the Vanderbilts, the Fishers, the Ulrichs, and their titled guests from abroad.
The Swells being the more alert and resourceful of the recent multimillionaires, particularly those who had clever and resourceful wives.
Mrs. Pembroke Jones, a leading hostess of the day, thus revealed her modest summer budget.
I always set aside $300,000 at the beginning of every Newport season for entertaining. But many hostesses have spent even more. Why, I have known of a single ball that cost $100,000.
A professor, Charles Carroll, writing in Harper's Monthly in 1879, charmed his readers with this word picture of a fashionable Eastern resort.
The lawns of the hotels and the new cottages are dotted with pretty girls in sprigged muslin frocks and young men irreproachable in dazzling linen or fashionable tweed. Archery, croquet, battledore, and shuttlecock are the popular pastimes. On the great rocks that sprawl into the ocean, the ladies sit under their sunshades and read novels, while the gentlemen, daintily recumbent, indulge in the sundry forms of nicotine that comport with the feminine neighborhood.
Ah, but it was in his description of the bathing costumes that the good professor, writing on the eve of the elegant 80s, reached a crescendo of approval.
They are a considerable improvement on the conventional pattern. The ladies wear pretty stuffs, abbreviated skirts and trousers and colored stockings. The men sport bolder abbreviations, sometimes exposing their thews and muscles in a way that would do credit to an Apollo Belvedere. However, this idyllic unfolding would make a rural Puritan faint with dismay.
And the Grand Duke Boris, surely the most exotic, the most distinguished among visiting nobility, speaking of Newport in its heyday, gave utterance to the ultimate of all endorsements.
I have never dreamt of such luxury as I have seen in Newport. We have nothing to equal it in Russia.
So much for the vacation picture in the exclusive, elegant 80s. But as some Greek once said, back in the days when they went fishing in the Attic hills and took the waters at the Hellespont, nothing is permanent but change. Millionaires were millionaires, but other Americans were making money too. It was at about this time that a certain Mr. Withers, who had made his fortune in a chain of livery stables, sought the counsel of his physician on a problem that wasn't altogether medical.
The waters at Saratoga are rich in sodium, calcium, magnesium, and potassium, Mr. Withers. You'll be immeasurably helped, sir.
I guess you know what's best, Doctor, but it isn't only the waters. You see, Mrs. Withers wants us to vacation in a fashionable place. You see, we have an unmarried daughter.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, well, as I understand it, sir, well, you see, I have been to Saratoga, and I can assure you all American society can be seen there.
Oh?
Now, sir, you assure your good wife that, at, for example, Congress Hall or the United States Hotel, she may be seated at the same table and often, indeed, side by side with the first families of the country.
You see, my wife likes a lively time. She can't stand to have it too quiet.
No, my dear sir, she'll find everything there. Balls, you know, concerts, exhibitions of ventriloquism, gambling and horse racing. Now, sir, would Jim Fisk and Dick Canfield, indeed Diamond Jim Brady, come if all were Sabbath calm? No, I might add for your benefit, Mr. Withers, that in addition to the waters, you might find some measure of stimulation in gazing on Edna Wallace Hopper, or Anna Hill, or even indeed on Lillian Russell herself.
What was their word for these invaders? The demi-monde? Well, anyway, they were moving in. First the famous actresses, then the nouveau riche, the upstarts, the easy money crowd. It wasn't long before a pheasant and champagne Sunday luncheon was ruined for a choleric old boy.
Hang it all, privacy is a thing of the past. We've been taken over body and soul by the steerage. Look at them out there, the factory workers and their women from as far away as Fall River and Pawtucket and Central Falls, picnicking on our beaches, ogling us from their excursion wagons. One might as well be living at Narragansett Pier or Saratoga.
I quite agree with you, Mr. Sloat. It's shameful that Narragansett should be right across the bay from us. I've been told that all the fast and notorious women are summering there. Painted actresses from the New York stage flaunting themselves about. And smoking. Yes, right on the beach.
The Tammany boys came flocking to the hotels and the racetrack. Famous people of all professions, or none, could be seen in the crowd.
Annie, did you see?
What?
Did you see who just drove by? Lillian Russell and Diamond Jim.
Gee, why didn't you tell me before? I already miss seeing Lillian Russell and that Englishman, Oscar something.
Wilde.
What?
Oscar Wilde.
Oh, he's a poet and wears a purple tie.
Oh, you know something, Annie? Someday working people like us are going to be able to come here for a whole week, and don't you laugh.
I'm not, but I got a better idea. A husband who can afford to send me here for a whole summer.
And so, as America moved toward the 20th century, the American dream, which had claimed for every man the right to work, now claimed for every man the right to play.
I've worked it all out, Nora. You see, it's here. It's a very simple formula. L plus M equals V.
Yeah, well, what's this invention to be, Ed?
Oh, the absolutely revolutionary vacation.
But what was that formula?
Well, you might call it a social chemistry formula. Leisure plus money equals vacation. It's simple, isn't it?
Not simple enough for us. You work in 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. Where's our leisure?
Oh, but not here, dear. You know, my father worked 7 12-hour days. You're going to see some changes in this new century, I tell you. Meanwhile, we're going to celebrate the beginning of the 20th century by sending you and the boys off to Cousin Dave's farm for the summer. I've made all the arrangements. He's expecting you, Nora.
But what about you, dear? I can't just leave you here for the whole hot summer.
Oh, now, don't you worry, dear. Once a month, I'll take a train and spend Sunday with you. I'll leave on Saturday right after work, and I'll get there early enough to spend the whole day. Nora, this is the best we can do now, dear. But it won't be too long. Someday we'll have one of these new motor cars and the time to use it, too. And then we'll vacation together, just like all the swells do.
Ed and Nora applied their formula, and so did their countrymen by the millions. And the formula has borne fruit today in one of the 10 leading industries of the nation, the vacation business. A fact to be remembered for a quiz program or for any other appropriate moment.
Fish Tavern at Long Branch, New Jersey, built before the Revolution, was the first resort hotel in the United States.
Mrs. John King Van Rensselaer remembered.
In my girlhood, the old New York families spent part of each summer there. It was on the beach at Long Branch that a naughty little boy named Teddy Roosevelt once knocked out one of my front teeth.
For many years before that historic incident, Long Branch had been a popular summer gathering place for the state citizens of Philadelphia. And in the early 70s, this scene is said to have taken place between a certain cigar-smoking traveler and a crusty, one-legged toll house keeper.
Well, there, mister. Pay your toll.
I don't have to.
Nobody gets through unless he does.
Maybe you don't know who I am. I'm the President of the United States.
Don't care who you are. You're president of hell. It's your business to pay 2 cents and my business to collect it.
Yes, under President Grant, Long Branch became the summer White House. And after Grant, Hayes and Garfield went there, too. Any business which caters to 90 million Americans is big business. Chief preoccupation, quite properly, of the resort owners, the motor court owners, the concessionaires, the chambers of commerce. And to aid them in their work, there came that modern Pied Piper in reverse, the publicity man, paid not to rid a town of rats, but to flood a state with vacationers.
All right, Senator, maybe we might call the meeting to order now.
Gentlemen, His Excellency the Governor suggested calling you together for this meeting. You, the business, social, and political leaders of all fair states. Now, he asks that we pay close attention to our visitor here from the East, Mr. Clyde Danning. Now, Mr. Danning.
Thank you, Senator. Gentlemen, the evening's warm. Your time is valuable, so I'll get right down to cases, as the man on the beer truck says. Gentlemen, for several years now, you've been trying to attract industry into your state. So far, the results haven't been too satisfactory.
Not even hopeful, sir.
Well, what I want to point out is that you've been overlooking a tremendous undeveloped industry right here under your noses.
What? What's this?
Gentlemen, I refer to the vacation industry.
Hey, you've got something. There's no finer place in the whole continent for a vacation in our state.
Exactly. But how many people know it? I don't mean your home folks. I mean throughout the country.
Well, now, sir, I'm afraid we don't get many foreigners to vacation down here.
And you could have a million each year. But first, you've got to tell them. Tell them about your mountains, about their quaint and colorful people. Tell them about the old folk songs, the dances. Set up a yearly folk festival. Get the university behind it. Get some good roads up into the mountains. The cost will be repaid many times.
I do have a question, Mr. Dannon.
Yes, sir.
Suppose we do all this. Where, oh, where are we going to put a million people?
I'm glad you raised that question, sir. Just make your campaign attractive enough, and you'll get more than enough investors to build hotels and camps and tourist cabins. Just get it started, gentlemen, and you'll be amazed how the tourists and the vacationers and the dollars roll in.
Thus it was that state after state discovered the dollar value of its land, its waters, its fish, its game, its air, its people, and told and kept telling the rest of America of all the wonders.
Come to California!
Come to Arkansas!
Come to Maine!
Come to Nevada!
Michigan!
To Florida!
Pennsylvania!
New Hampshire!
All ye who have 2 weeks and X dollars to spend, here is the vacation land of your dreams. Nature's own wonderland, artfully improved by the works of man. Come! Come! Come!
The modern Pied Pipers paid off. In New York, which leads the list of states deriving income from its vacation industries, hotels, restaurants, transport facilities, and allied activities grossed $1 billion last year. Florida and California were second with $700 million. Pennsylvania third with $600 million. Ohio and Michigan tied for fourth with $500 million. To the lure of photograph and printed word, to the call of never-before-seen places, Americans freed for 2 weeks from their machines, their desks, their counters, respond like vote-hungry politicians to a bid to a 4th of July picnic. Vacations have become not only an item under the heading Pursuit of Happiness, not only a physical necessity, but a psychiatric safety valve.
Miss Pear, it's late. Grab your dictation book and pencils and beat it.
Well, what about that letter you were dictating? Don't you want to finish it?
It'll keep till tomorrow. Remind me. Good night, Miss Pear. I said, good night, Miss Pear.
I'm in no hurry, Mr. Fillmore. I'd like to read you something.
Does it have to be now?
Well, it's for your own good, Mr. Fillmore, and there's no time like the present.
Very well. You may fire when ready, Gridley.
Mr. Fillmore, are you fed up? Are you just going along on nerve? Do you feel bogged down and dragging along and always tired?
Well,
are the pressures of life making you lose your sense of humor?
God, Miss Pear, you have summed me up in a nutshell. The answer is yes, 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 and yes. Now, What do I do about it? Embezzle the company funds, desert my wife, grow a mustache, and run off to South America?
Well, it's no laughing matter, Mr. Fillmore. You're showing stresses and strains in your personality.
Yes, as who isn't around here?
It's nothing to joke about. You need to vacate, to quit what you're doing now and do something else. For 3 years now, you haven't taken more than a weekend off. Tiredness brings tension and, well, please forgive my being so personal and please excuse the expression, but you simply got to unwind.
It doesn't matter whether your secretary read it or thought it up herself. The important thing is that her diagnosis is apt. Remarkably apt, Mr. Fillmore.
Oh, maybe so, Doctor, but it happens that I like my job. I say I like it. I can understand people getting tense and restless when they don't like what they're doing.
I like my job, too, but we're both at times burdened with routine, with irksome but inescapable details. And routines breed monotony. Vacation should compensate for these imbalances.
Oh, so they should, but the question is, do they?
Well, that's entirely up to you. Whatever your vacation, you're seeking an escape. And like the suit you're wearing or your shoes, that escape must fit you. As to size, color, style, and price.
Yes, but how can I tell if the vacation I choose fits?
By trying it on. Don't look at it from the point of view of your associates, your neighbors, where they go, what they do. Try to look at it as a child would, with a certain selfishness and irresponsibility. For 2 weeks, or whatever time you have, indulge yourself in living for the moment. Choose the vacation that will let you do what you want, how you want, when you want.
Mr. Fillmore, I stopped in at the resort agency during lunch.
And what did they say, Miss Pear?
They said they could find you a place at $5 a day or $50, and all the way in between. They said they could find you a place in a little farmhouse in Pennsylvania or a chateau in North Carolina. They can get you on a sailing vessel off the coast of Maine, put you to fishing off the coast of Florida, climbing mountains, attending a music festival in Massachusetts.
Oh.
In short, you name it, and they'll frame it. Here's a whole book of suggestions.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll go over it this evening. What's in that envelope, Miss Pear? More resort pamphlets?
Yes, Mr. Fillmore.
Take them away. I can't stand to read another one.
But time's getting short, and you have to make reservations.
I know.
Mr. Fillmore, I'm going to ask you a question now. Don't think about it, but just answer what comes into your head. Right this minute, what three things would you want to do or see?
Ride a horse, see the Grand Canyon, and take some lessons on the banjo.
That's it.
What's it?
Your vacation. Outside of a couple of things like eating and sleeping, you've just described your vacation.
Greetings from Z-Bar Z Ranch. The horse is philosophic, the canyon astounding, banjo instructor most patient.
Having a wonderful time. The patterns are as varied as our prejudices and as hotly defended. Some like it hot and some like it cold. Some find it in the mountains and some by the sea. Some find it in solitude and some to the accompaniment of rumba band and the flicker of a television screen. But whatever it is, you can get it if you can pay the tariff. To help the dreamer find his or her dream vacation is the dedicated task of the 1700 tourist agencies.
And at no cost to the vacationer for our service, our fees are paid by the resorts. As you heard, it was an agency that helped Miss Fillmore's boss find his wonderful time at a dude ranch. Now, Mrs. Barish had a different problem.
We have 2 children, aged 5 and 3, who love animals. And for their sakes, I'd like to find a farm that has a sample of all farm animals, as well as regular truck produce. We want to see the farmer milk the cows, and we want to see the mother pig in the sty. We'd love to pick berries and go fishing.
We found the specified farm accommodations for the Barish family in a farm in Pennsylvania.
Well, my need is really very simple. You see, for 50 weeks of the year, I cook for myself and eat dinners in restaurants 2 or 3 times a week. So I don't care much what else they offer, but I want to go to a place where I can eat well for 2 weeks, particularly seafood.
Miss Gander is now spending her third happy vacation at a small hotel in Maine. Miss Whaley, after we finally got down to it, had a more usual and universal problem.
I wouldn't mind spending a little more if I had to, if there's a chance of meeting nice, congenial people.
Translated, her request meant a young, good-looking, eligible man. We did our best for Miss Whaley, up to a certain point.
To hear them tell it, in the summertime, the living is easy for everyone but the hotel and resort owner.
Right after New Year's, we had to begin repairing the place for the summer. We had to put in 2 new tennis courts and a small pool for the children. This year, we're going to have to provide babysitters. In May, we started our advertising and mail publicity, and all the time, there were the headaches about supplies and linens and silverware and mattresses. We got an extra big supply of towels with our names on them, you see. Some people are just bound to go off with them, I tell you. And, well, I figure that is good publicity. But the biggest headache of all next to food cranked is to get enough single men here.
Are your vacation plans somewhat clouded by having to leave your dog in an impersonal kennel? Then cheer up.
The Home Away From Home Kennels provides not only the best of housing and food for your dog, but most important, affection. Each of our guests, and we prefer to call them such, is fondly patted 3 times each day.
To round out our vacation album, we reproduce a scene that recently took place at a family hotel in the Adirondacks.
Mrs. Warren, for your loyal and faithful 22 summers spent at Crestview Lodge, on behalf of the management and the staff, we present you with this solid gold medal, a copy of which will be attached to your rocking chair on the porch. Worthy General of the Porch Brigade, I salute you.
Our final vacation vignette concerns a Mr. Theodore Hoffman, whose pattern for the 2 weeks with pay is unique.
Say, Ted, I heard you were going off on your 2 weeks vacation tomorrow. My boy, it's all arranged. A marvelous 2 weeks. Right here in this big envelope.
What? Could I have that again, please?
Oh, with pleasure. What do you do and what do I do every spring? We sit around and we study the travel pamphlets. We dream about taking a long trip on the ocean. We dream about getting off in the woods, far from the noises of the taxis and the trolleys and the subways.
Well, there must be places like that.
So we dream. And most of us wind up on a hotel porch 100 feet away from the bar with rumba lessons on rainy afternoons and a big floor show every Saturday night. That's where my wife will wind up again this year. She's going with friends.
Well, what about you?
Me? I'm going every place I ever wanted to. This envelope is full of travel literature with descriptions shining like diamonds. And that's where I'm going. For 2 weeks, I'm taking an air-conditioned hotel room right here with good room service. And I'm going to sit me down and read these folders.
You know, Ted, that sounds wonderful. Say, will you do me a favor?
Sure, what's that?
Be sure to drop me a postcard.
And so we close our vacation album. And to all who are taking or are about to take your 2 weeks with pay, we hope you find what you seek, whether it be a mountaintop, a 10-pound bass, or an eligible young man. And in the seeking and finding, have a wonderful time. Living 1949 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC special program staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Today's script was written by Milton Wayne. Your narrator today was Peter Roberts. Music is composed and conducted by Roy Shield. This program is directed by Jack Cuney. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1949 by listening next week to our drama document entitled...
Ethel Merman mows them down tonight on NBC. Thank you.